Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, Mike Knox really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show on the radio, $1 million audience meets with your favorite host, $1 million connections, feel the force, most electric, most eclectic, listen to the shows where the pros expected, 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list, the best damn show on the radio, check this,
the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sports Authority and Other Stuff. I'm your host, Corey G. Before we go any further, let me bring my man, P-Dawg, in here. What's going on, Paris? How you doing this evening, brother?
Hey, what's going on? After that delay, I was starting to think maybe I had called into the wrong radio station.
No, I'm tripping. I'm over here hitting. I was just talking away, and finally I said, I don't think I hit the right button. So this is the part of the year that we as sports fans, we really kind of dread. The Olympics is going to save us for a couple of weeks, but not a lot going on right now.
We will be okay because NFL training camps start this weekend, I believe, for a couple of teams.
Yeah, that don't move me.
It does for me because you know what that means? That means that football is definitely in the air and it's right around the corner.
Yeah, I need games, man.
So it sort of gets my blood going.
This is the part of the year where I look at ESPN like once every couple days because they're going to show NFL Live about 8 times a day. And I'm good. I'm good on that. But the first couple of weeks is pretty interesting when you start hearing about who's doing what, who's looking good, fantasy football specifically from a fantasy football standpoint. You know, you look forward to it. So we're gonna see what's going on there. Tonight we are gonna go into a few different things. Nothing really scheduled because again, there's nothing really going on that's quote unquote to schedule. But before we get started, Paris, I do want to do this real quick. Yes, Paris, we are the champions. Take that, New England Patriots. That's how you finish an undefeated season. We are the champions. The Chicago Bulls Summer League team pulled it off, Paris.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I was I was really trying to fake some excitement about it. I didn't do a good job, I don't think. and it was good to see. I mean, Chris Dunn was balling out Paris early on before he had his concussion, and it was good to see. It was good to see some of those young guys get out there. My man in Philly, I'm having a Simmons. Simmons ended up missing the last game or two, but Brandon Wright played decently his first game. Did you have any? Do you have any thoughts on the summer league before we close out the summer league?
Well, I already told you I'm gonna go in the sports group and make a post a little bit later because I know last year when Becky Hammons and Spurs won, it was like, you know, she was almost like top five dead or alive. Jordan Simmons was this brilliant find, and the Anderson kid was about to break out and take on the NBA by storm. And yeah, like none of that really happened as far as the players. She's still sitting in the second row. Nothing against Becky, but I just thought that whole little angle was a little bit overhyped. So I'm going to give Pete Myers and my boy some love. As far as summer league goes, from a big picture point of view, as far as a fan goes, I thought this was one of the better summer leagues. There's a lot of nice talent. You already mentioned most of it. Chris Dunn and Ingram looked okay for the Lakers, and we got Ben Simmons, who received some flack from Isaiah Thomas for not playing in a summer league game. Of course, you know, when you're an old guy and you open up your mouth to say something, of course, you get attacked and, you know, usually called bad names and told to STFU. I don't think Isaiah had all the information at the time because later on the coach said that he held Simmons out because he wanted him to sit next to him and discuss the game. I think you could do that, you know, while watching film. I don't think there was an injury. And, you know, it's possible something with a hamstring, I believe. But I can sort of see what Zeke was saying, too, you know. And I know you're old school like me, and you believe, like, hey, if you can play, then play. If you aren't injured, you're 19, you should definitely be out there playing. But my question to you, not to get sidetracked real quick, but I saw – Joel Embiid sitting down, and they're saying that they still aren't ready to turn this guy loose in 5-on-5. So what type of faith do you have in ever seeing Joel Embiid be a productive NBA player? If you had to put it in for
zero. Zero.
Zero, huh?
I mean, how can I have any more than zero at this point? What are we in, year three?
This is true.
This is year three, right?
True. Yes, it is. And I mean, I was shocked when they said that. I was really shocked, you know, when they were saying, yeah, we're holding them out. We aren't ready to turn that 3-on-3. And I'm thinking, well, heck, when is this guy ever going to play? When is he ever going to play?
And that's kind of – and that's where I'm getting my zero from. And I hope for his sake that I'm completely wrong. But I remember when he came out, I remember the reason I couldn't get the love that everybody had for him was that, A, he wasn't really an offensive center. B, he really hadn't proven anything. He was hurt in college. Really, he was coming to the draft with injury issues. And I was confused on why Philly would take him that high, not knowing exactly what the situation was.
Well,
so at this point, they got
Philly.
Pretty much what I thought they would get, an injured guy who may or may not play. I think it was his back coming out of college, if I recall.
Right.
Back and then the foot. It's, you know, the one thing we've learned in our my 45, and I think you said you're 33 now, in our years is big fellas and body problems from the waist down. Don't tend to go well for big fellas. And then you add a back to that foot, or should I say in this case, you added a foot to the back, and then here we are in year three. The dude didn't play last year. So if he had the surgery and he's still not ready, I have 0% faith that I'm going to see him. And you said productive. You didn't even say see him play. I'm giving him like a 15% chance that we'll see him play. productive, zero chance at this point.
I'll give them at this point, I'm going to say 10% chance to be productive. To be NBA player. I'll give them 10. But I tell you what, it's not looking good.
Let me ask you a question. Does productive mean more than one full season?
Yes.
I mean, okay. You know who he reminds me of? And the other guy caught a lot of hell? Greg Oden. Difference is Greg Oden actually showed something court. But Greg Oden caught hell for his injury issues. The best thing that could have happened to Joel Embiid is he got hurt early and nobody thinks about him. Nobody thinks about him. I don't even think the people in Philly think about him. Especially since they have Jahlil. Well, I'm saying they've got Jahlil and they've got help me out, Pierce, the center from Kentucky.
Nerlens Noel.
I think most Philly fans are ready to move on from Joel Embiid. I think they're ready to move on. And if Philly can get a bag of balls for that dude, well, I wouldn't say that because then he is still a 7-footer. He is still a high draft pick. But if they can get anything in return for that dude right now, they need to investigate it. The problem is I have 0% faith in him being a productive player. And I'm sure most GMs whose jobs and dinner is on the line, because, you know, that's how they make their checks, most of them are probably thinking, yeah, we'll take our chances not messing with this cat. That's just me. But as far as the Ben Simmons thing, yeah, you know, we live in an age now, and maybe I pay attention to it more because I am 45, but we live in an age now where anytime an older person says something, automatically the younger people say, oh, it's just the old man being old. But if you take injury out of the equation, I agree with Isaiah 100%, specifically because it's not like this kid came into the summer league and was balling. He still has no jumper. When the best thing that people can say about you is you took jumpers, you probably need to work on your jumper. And but they say he had a little calf issue. So I'm cool with it because the last thing you want is for your top draft pick to get hurt in a summer league game. We're Bulls fans. We saw Derrick Rose hurt, you know, with his knee in the summer league. Shut him down. If he's hurt, if you think he's hurt, you shut him down. But if you take the injury out of the equation, Isaiah was spot on. And as you said, I don't think at the time Isaiah realized that the coach made a coach's decision. I think he was under the impression that a lot of people were that it was more a player decision or even a organizational decision based on the fact that he was going to the USA camp. So I'm cool with it, and I'm cool with what Isaiah said. I mean, it's not like he went Barkley on us or anything. So
right. Charles Barkley. We might have to have a show separately for Charles Barkley. I'm trying to think how to word
this. Charles Barkley
but
fan.
You know what,
I love the fact
you know
that
what?
He speaks his mind, but he reminds me of – watch this. Watch the correlation I make real quick.
Okay.
I love the way he speaks his mind, you know, and I love the fact that he's open and honest, but at some point it becomes – a nuisance, kind of like Donald Trump. Like, it was kind of refreshing at first that Donald Trump said how he felt and wasn't giving you political speak. And then the more you heard him talk, the more you realize, I don't want to hear this dude talk anymore. That's kind of where I am with Charles Barkley. Like, it was cool when Charles Barkley spoke. And now it's to the point that you're like, I really hope Charles Barkley didn't say anything.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't really – like old Charles anymore because he's gotten to the point to where he says things that goes against what people really want to hear.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
And you know, there's no one out there, none of these talking heads, that I agree with 100% of the time anyway. And, of course, you know, when you don't agree with somebody all the time, then, of course, you're a hater, you don't like them, you know, all that other stuff. Like, yes. You're supposed to agree with somebody 100% of the time or you're a hater. I'm a little bit too old for that, sort of have my mind of my own, so I sort of have my own mindset, believe in what I believe in. Sometimes guys align with what I believe, Sometimes they don't. And, you know, it is what it is. It's nothing personal. I don't think you're going to agree with anybody else to sit aside. But Charles is one of those guys where he says some very uncomfortable stuff. And sometimes he maybe might not be wrong, but it's uncomfortable. Because you're right.
Right.
He does speak his mind. And now he says some things that I haven't agreed with, but then he's made some good points also. Along the line.
Yeah,
nobody is 100% right all the time anyway. But yeah, like I said, Charles could definitely do his own show. But getting back to Ben Simmons real quick, you know, I think he's going to be, as long as he's a hard worker, I haven't heard anything contrary to the belief, I think that he's going to develop into a quality shooter, because when you watch him shoot, the form is there. You know what I mean? He actually has a nice-looking stroke. You know, he isn't a good shooter now, of course, but the stroke and the form is there. So I think it's one of those things that once he gets in the gym and work, you know, most guys come into the NBA, they all have to work on their jumper. And once he gets into the gym and, you know, spends some good quality time, I think he's going to be okay. I really do. I think he's going to be okay, but the court vision is there. You know, a lot of people question his guard.
And,
you know, but I don't want to pile on to the kid. You know, he did sort of seem to lose interest to LSU. I will say that. It did seem like after a while he was sort of like, okay, man, let's just hurry up and get this NBA thing going, because, you know, I'm sort of like done here. He was finished and done, as Birdman would say. You know, but he's young. You know, he's young, so I'm not gonna hold that against him and say that he's, you know, a malcontent. He doesn't have heart or anything like that. He too much career left to even go down that road yet. So we'll see. But Summer League, yes, I thought it was good. Now as a Bulls fan specifically, I know, I mean, you talked a little bit about this off air. Whenever you win something, it's always a good thing. You don't put the guys in the Hall of Fame, but hey, at the same time, you saw. I think it's both fans. What you want to see is, because typically, you know, guys play in Summer League for 2 years. You know, that rookie year, then after their first year, unless you're, you know, one of the guys like Carl Anthony Towns, hey, no need for you, big fella. You go and sit on down and chew the fat and wear expensive jewelry. You know, you've earned that right. But the other guys.
Yeah,
you know,
made no sense for him to be out there.
Yeah, yeah, you don't do that with guys like that. You know, and you know, like the Lakers fans, I can understand, you know, you see D'Angelo Russell, and seeing that he, you know, has made improvements. Because quite honestly, your second-year guys should be the best players on the court. Now, is that necessarily going to translate into success? Of course not, because Tony Snell sure did fool the heck out of us most that 2 summers ago, where he looked like he turned a corner, and then he came into the regular season, it was still trash. But
he turned the corner, but he was in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. But you definitely want to see those guys, you know, sort of look like they're better than most of the other guys on the court, because they should play that way. You know, so for as far as the Bulls fan, it was good seeing Bobby Portis and Big Chris, Cristiano Felicio. You can tell that they spent a lot of time in a gym. And you know what?
Really?
They'll be productive.
Even Chris?
I think Chris spends a lot of time in the gym, and then he goes and drinks like a case of beer. Because he's the only NBA player with – well, he's not the only NBA player with a beer gut, but I don't know about that beer gut. I'm like, man, this dude has a gut. And I was remember thinking, I'm like, I did get rid of it this summer, but it's still there. So maybe he's just a gut guy. Maybe he's just like a big man, Kyle Lowry. I don't know.
Let me pose something to you first before I do. 347-637-3859 if you're listening on the website or on Blog Talk, bdsirnetwork.com. If you've already called in and we see some people have and you want to get on the conversation, press the 1. I want to pose something. I want to pose a question to you, and then we're going to get to a caller. Do you recall in a little draft news, DeMarcus Cousins, when Sacramento made their draft pick, DeMarcus Cousins made the tweet. I can't remember exactly what it says. I don't want to misquote.
It was hand praying. You know the little prayer.
Right. Okay. There you go.
That's what it was.
And then he said, no, it had nothing to do with the draft. Now DeMarcus Cousins he's back. He's the gift that keeps on giving. He now says that he doesn't really understand their draft pick. What are your thoughts on the Marcus Cousins flip-flopping, and does this bode well for everybody in the NBA who has money next year?
Well, he's 2 years away.
Well, so 2 years away. Then. But they could trade him this year if they fear losing.
And I put it to you right there. Well, first of all, DeMarcus, I don't understand what the hell they're doing either. Now, maybe you probably shouldn't say that, but nobody does. You listen to the experts talk, nobody knows what the Kings is. It's sort of like no rhyme or reason with that franchise. I'll never get why you sign Kufis, then you draft Willie Cauley-Stein. Now you draft another big, but Ben McLemore has pretty much been a bust. You get rid of Rondo. Okay, fair enough. But now you have Darren Collison, who proved that he's a backup. And what do in free agency? You sign Aaron Afalo. And now the word is Rudy Gay wants out. But to answer your second question, yes, if I'm the other 29 teams in the NBA, I am already planning. I was watching a little bit of the USA team practice today, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I wonder if Jimmy Butler and DeMarcus Cousins are like, go and have a beer or something after this practice. Because now is the time.
Take that dude out.
You know, this is what teams,
take that dude out for
dinner. Yeah, this is what teams are for. This USA basketball has become a breeding ground for what we saw in Miami, what we see, you know, coming up here at Golden State. This is where it all starts. So out of those 12 guys that's there right now, maybe a year or two down the line, maybe even three, we're going to see these guys sort of link up again. Because right now relationships are being formed. We might not know about believe me. It's happening. Yeah, but so Cousins, you're right, man. He's on his – they might as well trade the kid. I mean, because it's a waste of a talent, honestly, because they are sort of spinning their wheels. He has to do better. He has to be more of a leader on the court. We know he's going to put up numbers. But I think the kid has had 8 coaches now in his career. That's not due to –
have a success. Well, let's take it to the caller. Let's see what the caller has for us. The 985 area code. You're on with Corey Paris. Paris Corey. Sports Authority. Other stuff. Who is this?
Man, it's Perk, man.
Yeah, that's what I
thought.
What's going on, Perk? What's
going on, bro? Man, how you fellas doing tonight?
Doing good, man. Maybe doing good.
Up is a good one.
All right, so what we're dibbling and dabbling in, I had a question to ask you guys about 20 minutes ago about the Bulls. I was going to ask you Bulls fans, what do you guys think about Dwayne Wade? What do you expect? What would you consider, you know, successful for the price that you paid for him? And, you know, how much do you think he'll impact you guys' chances at making the playoffs?
Okay,
well,
I'll go first if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I was going to give a shorter answer. I know you're going to go in depth.
No.
Make me look bad.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say this real quick. What I think it brings is it brings legitimacy to the two-guard position. It brings a championship mentality, and it brings somebody that knows how to win. When you already had Rondo and Jimmy Butler, you already had a formidable backcourt. When you add D Wade to that mix, the Bulls, I mean, are they a championship contender, quote unquote, in my mind? No, but now you're setting yourself up to be better, and then next year you look better to free agents. So I think he gives the Bulls legitimacy. And honestly, you know, considering how Bulls management went about it, not putting themselves in a corner financially, I can live with the deal.
Right.
I actually kind of like they did with Rondo and Wade. Now I will let Paris have the floor because I know he's going to go in depth with it. I know he's got more info than I do.
No, I mean, honestly, he played 74 games last year. I think we'll see probably about 68 to 69 games. He averaged 19 points last year, so let's 18 to 19, you know, maybe 17, high end, maybe 20. But I think he'll be rejuvenated. I think he's going to play some pretty good ball. I think the mix with Rondo and Butler will work out. And something that Corey touched on is, you know, you got this weird fraternity in the NBA. First, we always talk about it, how these dudes are, you know, and how they all sort of buddy-buddy. So I think what this does for the Bulls moving forward is Dwayne Wade comes here. He has a good experience. Now maybe he puts that word out. You know what I mean? Hey, you know, hey, when I came to Chicago, they took care of me, yada, yada, yada. And that sort of stuff sort of carries weight with
right.
the ages. And,
right.
As far as success, we won 42 games last year. This year, I think we could win about 45, 46.
Okay.
45, 46 games, probably finishing, let's say, you know, maybe fifth or sixth place. And
okay.
if we make it to the second round, I think that's as far as we can probably go.
Yeah, nobody's
you know,
playing championship. At least not the two of us.
Yeah, we're not a conference, you know, championship team, but I think we could get to the second round and that'd be okay. And one thing Corey brought up is the financial flexibility is that next year we still have enough room to add another max free agent. You know, possibly we could add another max. So maybe, you know, you got Dwayne Wade and, you know, maybe he recruits somebody.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. I definitely don't think it was a bad move. You know, it sort of shocked us because, you know, we were talking about it in group and none of us really thought Dwayne Wade was leaving. You know, we knew his feelings was a little hurt, but we figured Uncle Pat would come here, put his arm around his shoulder, you know, and
right.
go, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I know I only offered you 10. What if I offer you 18? And Dwayne go, no, I want 23. And he go, what about 19? And Wade goes, okay. And everybody laughs off into the sunset. That's how I thought it was going to play out. You know, until that day, and I called Corey, until that day, I thought it was no chance that he was leaving. But when he had that meeting with Miami and still didn't sign with them, I remember I called Corey and said, this could get interesting. Because I'm like, if he hasn't signed with them with this meeting, you know, then you have all the reports coming out of Chicago, the Bulls are, but, you know, you can't believe that stuff because you got some dudes saying the Bulls are in the league, and you got other dudes saying there's no way in hell he's coming to Chicago. You know how that is. You read one story, you get one story, you read another one, you get the other one. So I don't know. But here's something I would like to ask you first, and I know me and you sort of touched on this last week. Of course, we were ahead of others, and now you have the Blake Griffin to OKC angle. So, first of all, two questions. If you're Jeff Petrie, and my gut tells me that Russell Westbrook isn't the type of guy that's going to say, okay, trade me, I don't want to be here. But it would make bad business for him to also sign an extension. So if you're Petrie and he says, look, I just want to play this year out and then we'll take it from there, do you take a chance or do you trade him now?
Man, you know what's rough, man? Because if they had inside information on KD's thoughts and the info that he had, you know, it would be much better because they don't know Russell Westbrook's frame of thought. KD is gone. OKC is a good playoff team, but they aren't a contender unless Russell Westbrook goes. Takes a tremendous leap as far as performance in 1 or 2 years' time, you know. Other than
right.
that, then, you know, they can't do anything special. And it's two super teams now, Russell Westbrook I don't see him staying at OKC unless they make a trade and get someone else there, you know, now, or they go in, you know, like I said, somebody goes Superman and, you know, they surprise everyone. But if I'm Petrie, man, I lost KD, man. I don't – it depends because you can't get equal value because he's only on a one-year, you know, deal. So, no, man, I say the hell with it, and I ride it out.
You know what? I honestly think I would take the chance because, you know, you hear certain teams, of course, New York, of course, L.A. is mentioned, and you have to think, if you're one of these teams like the Lakers, right, because if I'm the Lakers and I call OKC, I'm going to be like, okay, I want Russell, I want Ingram, and I want, you know, your number one draft pick, you know, next
right.
year. Even though I think the Lakers pick goes to the Nets or something next year. It's something crazy. I have to look at it again. But now if you're – you have to think, if you're that team and you make that trade for Russell Westbrook, but yet you gut your team to get him, I think Carmelo Anthony is a good example that all these dudes remember of how when he forced that trade to New York and they had to gut the team to get him, it actually set him back. And he would have been better off just waiting and signing there in the offseason.
Right.
So if I'm another team, I'm looking at that too. And if I think that I have a legit chance, because right now there's already been talks, there's already been calls to agents, and there's a handful of teams that think, okay, we got a shot next year, I'd probably take my chances next year in free agency. And I'm pretty sure I would, because I wouldn't want to give up a bunch of assets to have a walk. But here's another question to you, Perk. And to you too, Perk.
Right.
Do you think that Blake Griffin would be a big enough catch to convince him to stay next year? If Blake called him up and said, hey, Russ, hey, man, check this out. You know, I sort of balled at OKC to stay here in L.A., sort of red, of course. I'll come back down there, you know, if you don't stay there. Would that be enough to keep Russ in OKC?
You got it, Perk.
Most definitely.
You think so, huh? Okay.
I guess
for me, it really depends on what Russ. You know, at this point, you know, Russ is a California kid. He's a little hurt. He's a little upset that KD left. So you have to wonder what his mind state is. In my opinion, I think how the team starts off this year will play a part in that thinking. If they start off this year struggling, and they go 2-10, 3-9.
Right.
Now it might not matter who you bring over. He might be ready to go.
Yeah.
I think bringing in Blake would be a good move for OKC. But the other problem is, I don't say problem, but the other question I would have to throw back at you is, if they bring Blake, who are they getting rid of? Because they've got a few bigs. You know, specifically after they made that trade with Orlando, that really actually makes the Clippers a better team. And so now you might, you know, I mean, Blake is Blake, you know, but L.A. proved they can win without Blake. So now if you're Russell, you're sitting back and thinking, damn, now we just made the Clippers a better team. So
I honestly,
it's a tough call.
I honestly don't think it would make the Clippers a better team, because if you look at the Clippers, when they went on that little run without Blake last year, it was a very convenient schedule for them when they went on that little run, you know, when Blake was out and they were playing decent and all of a sudden, okay, we don't need Blake. It is. We all saw how they sort of tailed off at the end, and in the playoffs, Blake and CP2 go down in the same game. So that sort of ruined that. But I just think with the Clippers and Fat Brian, our friend Brian Windhorst,
right,
you know, he's already put it out there. The next year, Wade, Chris Paul, and LeBron are all going to be free agents again. So, who knows what those three have?
Well,
when is this?
Next year?
Next summer.
I thought the Bulls had a team option on the book. I thought that was
now,
a team
Wade,
option, or is it?
No, Wade. Wade
oh, that's
has
right.
A
it's mutual.
Option.
It's a mutual option. It's a mutual option.
No,
that's
no.
Right.
Wade has a player. It's not mutual. It's a player.
Oh, I thought I read that it was a.
Rondo is the guy Rondo is the guy we can let go. It's a $3 million buyout. And then you do the stretch provision, and you pay him $1 million a year for $3 billion for three seasons.
Well, here's what I'll say about Wade, and then I'll move on. He took a pay cut to play with LeBron once, and then when LeBron left, he wasn't happy about not getting max money. What do you think the odds are that he walks away from $25 million here in Chicago?
I don't think he's walking away from that money. What is it, $23 million, I think? But, yeah, he's not. I don't think he's walking away from that money, especially
now,
at his
age. So let me pose this to you both. Rondo has – the Bulls can risk themselves a Rondo. We all already have enough money for one max. Now, I truly don't think LeBron's going to come to Chicago. Let me just say that up front. But if I don't think Wade is going to go anywhere, let's start the rumor now, Paris and Chicago Bulls fans. Chris Paul and LeBron James to the Bulls. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because I really don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's going to happen. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm walking away thinking that's going to happen. It's not going to happen. But I didn't want to get Rondo. And this is what I was going to make too real quick on that Bulls thing first. You know, honestly, as Bulls fans, we didn't expect much going into the, you know, coming into the summer, simply because all we had was Jimmy Butler. Once we made the trade, then we're looking at, you know, a second-year point guard. We're looking at a defensive center. And, you didn't know where the Bulls are going to go. So I think when you – just to go back to that real quick, when you add Rondo, you add respectability at the point guard position. You see the Rondo of old? No. Does he have problems with the coaches? He has. But, just from a player perspective, when you add those guys, it gives you respectability, and it jumps you up. Because like Paris hit 45 wins, okay. You know, we weren't thinking 40 wins prior to that. Prior to that, we weren't thinking playoffs. So.
Yeah, we were thinking about 38, somewhere around there. And then it was this weird cloud where for a week there, Perk, it was touch and go because of the whole thing, and if you listen to a lot of the smart dudes on the radio who are always wrong, start with this guy named Brian Gilsire, and I called and told him he was wrong, because he was convinced that the Bulls were completely going in rebuild mode, and they were about to trade Jimmy Butler and start completely over. So we were going to be like a 20-win team and get a high lottery pick next year. That was the word of where they were heading. After the whole Derrick Rose thing, is that they're going straight rebuild and they're going to end it.
Yeah, so I just wanted to close that out real quick. So yeah, I'm cool with the moves. I like where we are right now. It's better than tanking, which a lot of people wanted the Bulls to do. And you know, as
not
Philadelphia,
me.
Tanking doesn't really work that well. It's not a guarantee.
And
you,
NBA
you take
is
once,
so
you could
hard.
You could be tanking for the next 6 years, man.
And the thing of the NBA is so hard because even when you draft young players, you know, these guys are so young that it takes them so much time. And until they prove themselves, you don't have a snowball's chance and you know what of getting a prime free agent to help you. You know, so it's really like a 6-year plan, honestly. It's not like a 1 or 2 year plan. It's really like a 6-year plan when you go down that road. And I'm happy we're not going down that road, quite honestly. I could take me a bad for a year or two, but like 5, 6 years, and I'd be ready to jump off a building somewhere. That would really suck.
Pretty much. I just wanted to throw that back out there real quick. Oh, the Republican National Convention is on. I'm sure y'all ain't watching that, right?
I watched a little bit of it last night. I'm more of a debate guy. Conventions to me is just like this overblown pep rally where people get up here and say,
oh, that's exactly what it is.
For the crowd cheers.
Oh, that's
I lose
that's
interest
exactly
after a little while. But I'm a big debate guy. I like the debate. And I'm looking forward to the debates with Donald Trump. And I really don't want to talk politics because I know where this is going to end up. But I'm really looking forward to the debates with Donald Trump because he really is like a politician and never really talks politics. And sooner or later, he's going to have to like start saying politician type stuff. He's going to have to talk about the gross national product. He's going to have to talk about unemployment rates and those sort of things. And I'm interested to hear him say that, because you can only say we're going to build that wall so many times.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm waiting for as well. But like you said, we're not going to get too deep into it. But, yeah, I myself am looking forward to the debates, because I think that's when he gets exposed. I mean, because he's been, you know, he's been playing with house money so far, and they haven't really grilled him. And you can say what you want about Hillary. She's a liar. Yeah, this, that, and the third. But Hillary knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, she's been around the block.
She didn't do all that
game.
She didn't do all that lying and get away with it by luck.
Hey, she learned from
the
best, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's just throw that out there. But going back to sports. Again, the Olympics are coming up. I cannot wait, man. I when I was younger, I was never really a big Olympic person. It wasn't like something I sat around and waited for. As I've gotten older, a little more patriotic, you know, started to care a little bit more, I can't wait. So outside of basketball, fellas, let me ask you this. Outside of basketball,
mm-hmm.
What event are you guys looking forward to seeing? I know there's really only like two more options, but I'm going to ask anyway.
For me, track and field.
Yep. That was one of the
odds. Track, we all want to see both. I want to see a 4x100. Track and field. Definitely track
okay.
and field.
Oh, perk, I know, okay. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to track and field, but I'm actually looking forward to women's gymnastics. We have two sisters on the team this year, in Biles, and I can't remember the young lady's name we had 4 years ago. But I'm looking forward to seeing – Gabby Douglas, there you go. I'm looking forward to seeing the women's gymnastics team. I'm looking forward to seeing the track and field. Definitely look. I mean, but the track and field is a must-see every year.
Mm-hmm.
What really
Maybe
disappoints me
is
– Yeah, boxing. And I was thinking about boxing, but I was about to say the thing that really disappoints me as a fan of the Olympics is that they thought golf was a good idea to put in and wrestling was a good idea to take out. And I'm not even saying that I watched wrestling, but I understood where wrestling stood came to the Olympics. I understood
right
that, what wrestling meant. And golf just didn't seem to fit. And this year, Paris, with so many of the top golfers dropping out, now they're questioning golf. It's golf, man. There's a golf Olympics event every week, because every week during the PGA Tour, you have guys from the different countries, the same guys that will be the Olympics. I don't need golf in the Olympics, and I don't need tennis in the Olympics. I don't need it. I don't need it. There's a part of me that just wishes we would go back to amateurism.
Tennis seems fine. I'm against the amateurism thing. I mean, let these guys compete. But as far as golf, you know, I'm not gonna watch it anyway. So I guess if it's there, it's there. I mean, like I said, I've taken a Mr. Guthrie approach to golf, because I'm not gonna lie, I'm one of those guys where Tiger made that thing a whole lot more interesting to me. And since we don't have Tiger no more, I feel like I'm watching a whole bunch of the same guys that really don't do it for me. I mean, I tried to watch this Jordan Spieth kid, but I was like, you know, Ricky Fowler wears the crazy pants, but, you know. I like watching Phil Mickelson not win, if that counts. But it's nobody there that has really captivated me to where it's like, okay, I want to see this guy win. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm pulling for him. I want to see him win. So, and until that happens, like Mr. Guthrie said, Just watch the last 5 minutes of an NBA game. I'm like, just watch the back nine of a major tournament. That's all you need to know.
I watch golf. I usually watch like the first day, and then I come back the last day. Everything that goes on in between is just jibber jabber. It's just jibber jabber, man. Go ahead. What were you about to say?
Oh, nothing. Go ahead. You got it.
Oh, no, you're good. All right, so basketball, boxing. We know we're looking forward to basketball. That goes without saying. Boxing. I don't know, man. I just remember when we were kids, Paris, and I think this, you remember when we were talking about boxing for the last few years, what I've always said that if boxing wanted to make a comeback, they needed to put more free fights on, they needed to get more exposure, and they needed to get mm-hmm. fans invested in boxers. Well, I'm not saying they listened to me, but they did what I suggested anyway. And fans started to care again. Even myself, somebody who had just given up on boxing, you know, start to watch these guys for free, and you start to get invested in their careers.
Right.
Where I'm trying to take this is I want to pose a question to you. When we were kids and you had the worldwide, you know, the worldwide sports, whatever it was on ABC,
mm-hmm.
you were in, you know, you would get to see a little swimming, you would get to see a little, you know, whatever it was, different sports.
Right.
Is there a part of you that wishes they would come back with some kind of show every week where they showed you kind of the, you know, a different sport, like maybe you'd get some ski jumping 1 week, you know, maybe you'll get a little, you know, whatever, just insert Olympic sport here. Do you wish they would go back to that to kind of give you as a sport, especially now when there's not a lot going on? Would you like to see some more of those kind of under-the-radar sports that you actually care about for 2 weeks and you have no idea who those people are for the next 3 years, 11 months, and 14 days?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind it. I think they try to do that now because they bring a lot of the trials on TV, you know, like they did with the gymnastics, and I watched track and field. I actually watched a little of the swimming and the diving. So, yeah, I don't mind watching, you know, those sort of shows, and they're about to crank it up here with basketball because the first game is Friday night. So, you know, they'll get us all going and getting it because there's a lot of new guys on the team. Fat Lowry still doesn't look right in a USA uniform. There's something about that that just don't look right to me. But it's a lot of new guys, you know, so people have to get acclimated to them. And I'm really looking forward to watching this team play. And like you mentioned, the gymnastics. So, yeah, I don't know if a Wide World of Sports-style type show would really work today because one thing about coverage now – is every now and then I'll be turning and I'll see those off-brand sports because there's so much stuff on TV that if you really want to find it, you can. You know, but is the market there for that? Okay. It's kind of like bowling. Bowling always seems to be on too, especially during football season. I don't know why. Mm. It always seems to be on.
It seems to always be on ESPN, doesn't it?
Yep.
Like as soon as the fantasy football thing goes off, there's Pete Weber,
you know what,
screaming and yelling at the camera.
Hey man, I like that dude. He's sort of out of hand. But you know what's crazy is I've always thought that Mr. ESPN, I forgot the owner's name. They say it every now and then. There's a part of him that hates the fact that when all of his football shows go off and his fantasy shows go off, then bowling comes on. You just know that one day they would love for that to go off and NFL games come on.
Oh, definitely. I mean, why wouldn't you? The transition is seamless.
It
would be a seamless transition. And ABC, I'm sorry, and CBS and Fox better watch their backs because ESPN is waiting for the opportunity to pounce. If they ever open up the bidding for that, it's a wrap. And if it's not going to be ABC, if it's not going to be ESPN, it's going to be on ABC, which is an affiliate.
Right.
So,
it's coming.
Where are you going with that? Say
it's definitely coming. I said it's coming.
Right,
you can tell that those guys are sort of positioning themselves. So one day, I think we're going to see it one day.
Okay. You got any baseball thoughts, Paris, before we start to close this down? Where are you with the White Sox right now, Paris?
Oh, God. I really don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
You're going to give me an ulcer.
Uh-huh.
I like to consider myself.
All right, watch this. Tina Tillman retired yesterday.
Who cares?
Come on, man. You can't hate everything.
I'm one of them guys. No, I'm one of them guys that once you leave the Bears, I mean, it's Peanuts Hillman, and I mean, he's done, he's old, he retired. I mean, that's cool, that's nice.
Well, see, I guess maybe because you're not, I guess maybe because you're not here, it doesn't have the same, you know, he did a lot in the community. He was real good in the community. He was real good with the underprivileged kids. And because of that, that's why I care. He did so, dude, there is so much stuff he did here in the community that people don't talk about or wasn't made public. And you just, you know, it's hard to find, I won't say it's hard to find athletes, but when you find an athlete that gives that much time and he has his own personal issues, if you recall, his daughter has some health issues, and he still mm-hmm. finds time to give money and give time to the community. And I love that because the one thing I always, you know, like you say, we don't want to count these guys' chips and start telling them what they should do with their money, but it's always good when they can give it their time. And he was real good with that. So, and he's a guy that, he's the kind of guy that you like from the standpoint that, you know, when he was drafted, he wasn't the guy. Nobody expected him to be the guy. And he turned himself into a really solid player who had a really solid career. So I wish Tina Tillman nothing but the best.
Yay! I'm giving him a standing ovation. I'm giving him a standing ovation. I'm just one of those real emotional type dudes. I'm like, man, I wish him the best. But if he would have retired in a Bears uniform, it would have felt a little bit different for me. Like, he would have probably retired a Panther. So now the Bears need to sign him for a one-day contract so he can retire a Bear. Because they do that a lot in the NFL. So that would be cool. Sign him for one day.
Cool.
So that way, when he retires, he can always say he retired a Bear. Won't make the Hall of Fame. Won't
nope.
his number retired by the Bears because we've retired about 50 doggone numbers already. So
nope.
that won't happen. But he definitely deserves a peanut punch night, you know. And
there should definitely be a peanut bobble that night.
Now, it's been, I haven't been to Soldier Field. I think last time I was to Soldier Field, I can't remember how old I was. But do we have, a Ring of Honor or something for greats without, you know, jerseys being retired or anything like that?
I'm not going to lie. I live here and haven't been in Soldier's Field. And I haven't been in Soldier Field probably in – I can tell you the last time I went was when the Panthers started their franchise and we played them in the preseason.
So what you're telling me is I've seen the Bears play more in person than you have in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember the Bears didn't have a jumbotron, and when I went to see the Bears, I'll never forget. It was a play action run, and the side of the field we were on, everybody thought it was a handoff, so we're all screaming, and then we see the dude kind of slow up, and then we hear the other half of the stadium cheering. And we see a guy dancing in the end zone, and we're like, what happened? And, of course, there was no replay. And on that day, I said, I'm never coming back here again. I'm never
so
coming
even
back
though,
here.
So even though,
yeah, even though they put in
the
jumbotron, I've never been back.
Wow.
Never been back. And honestly, with fantasy football, it's hard to be there when you're trying to sit at the house and get everything together, man. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. I love college football. I'll go to college football. I don't care for pro football like that. I told you this though. I'm not into it like that, like y'all are. I like to watch the Bears. As far as going, the college football is more of an experience for me. I enjoy college football games. I don't enjoy pro games. That's just me. But you don't go to college games.
They're all games.
What was the last college game you went to?
Illinois isn't here. If Illinois was here, I would go. I don't
want
to go see
Arizona. If Illinois was in Arizona.
Yeah, if Illinois was in Arizona, I would go. So don't you try to spin this back on me. And because you are. I'm
considering
spun. How many White Sox games you been to this year?
This year I've been to 3, actually.
Okay, that's what that's good. That's a big number. But to not go
to the Bears for like
a decade, that is pure blasphemy.
I'm not interested in pro football, man. I'm not interested in sitting in a pro football stadium. College football, I love going to college football games. I've gone to South Bend. I've gone to Ann Arbor. I've gone to the Horseshoe. Of course, I've gone to see Illinois play more than enough times, unfortunately, for my own taste at this point. I've been down to Northwestern, Purdue. Dude, I love college football. But pro football, don't care to go watch it in person. I really
don't know how you can separate the two, but hey, fair enough. I mean, I got a feeling it's a little bit different atmosphere.
I'm trying to tell you, do you remember the Michigan Illinois game when it went to like 4 overtime game? I was at that game, dude. It was nothing like it. To be one of the only Illini fans, you know, one of a small group of Illini fans, there's nothing like it, man. You go to a pro game, dude. At least, like I said, the last one I went to, you were just kind of there. Bunch of drunk, you know. I'm good. Give me the college game. Better atmosphere.
They don't sell.
A little more fat.
They don't sell beer. They don't sell beer in college games.
It's better, man. It's just better. If you've never been,
I
can't.
I'm just asking a question.
You won't understand.
I have been to college games, Corey. I haven't been to Ann Arbor and
Illinois.
I've been to Grambling. I've been to Jackson State. I've been to Grambling. I've been to Jackson State. I've been to the SWAT game. I've been to the Bayou Classic.
Well,
so I've been to college games.
Okay, the Bayou Classic. Yeah, the Bayou Classic. I haven't seen the Bayou Classic, you know, but I've seen, like, when they come up here. Now, you know what? I just forgot, Paris. I lied to you. I have been there because I've been there. So this is going to probably not help my argument any. I've actually been there to see the black colleges when they come play. So I have been to Soldier Field. I just haven't been there to see the Bears.
Look, the whole point is this.
I was there when they had the thing for God, who was it they had the thing? When Walter Payton died, I was there for that.
They say, to put a bow on this, no matter how you frame it, the fact that you haven't been to a Bears game,
no shame. I'm not. I feel no shame about
it. It's just purely out of hand.
Hold on.
It's
been longer than a decade, sir. How long has the Panthers been a franchise?
Probably 20 years now. Because 20 years ago, you picked the wrong part of the stadium to sit in, took your eyes off the ball, missed a play, and you're still holding a grudge from 20 years ago.
Dude, you burned me once.
That's purely out of hand.
Hey,
matter of fact,
I plan on going
to see the Bulls play when I come back to Chicago this year. I want to go. I hope the Bulls are in town because I want to go see them play.
I had Bulls season tickets.
I want to go see them play. And I want to go see them play at home.
Hey, I had.
I don't know if I'd ever go that far.
I do. Bulls and the sky.
I don't know if the sky make my head hurt too.
I've been to see DePaul play. I just can't do pro football.
Play Arizona in college basketball. It seems like Illinois and Arizona had a team, but they don't do that anymore.
You won't get it this year.
You know, Illinois played Arizona State. I think that was about four
years
ago. Yeah, they played Arizona State football.
Okay.
But I wasn't here when they, because I think Illinois came out here also. It was a home and home. I think they did with Arizona State. So hopefully they do something like that again. And I go watch them lose because Lovie Smith to make a conservative play call in the fourth quarter and cost them the game.
Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith.
Yeah, he'll decide to punt on a fourth and inches. He'll punt the other team and get the ball, go down the field, kick a field goal that beat us by one.
You got to keep the faith, dog.
Yeah.
No.
We'll see though.
All right.
Let me ask you this
before we get out of here and before we get off of college football. There was talk today, Paris, that the NCAA is discussing or talking about, or somebody brought it up. I don't really know how deep it is, about getting rid of the kickoff, about getting rid of kickoffs. Now, I understand from a physical standpoint, from a not even a physical because it's football, but I understand it from the standpoint where players are getting hurt and, people are worried about lawsuits. I get that. But at what point, Paris, I'm trying to think of how I can phrase this that it won't sound crazy and that it'll be easy to answer. At what point does concern about something that's been going on for, ever as far as football goes, at what point does that overtake tradition? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. At what point does that become bigger than tradition?
Well, it's going to happen. First of all, I don't think it's about the lawsuit thing. I think we should put that to rest. That's coming gone. Really can't sue anymore. All the information is out there. The complete testing is different now with the protocol. So as far as the individual players getting together and trying to sue the NFL, that day has come and gone. They were actually talking about this on the radio a couple months ago. I was listening to Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller talking about it, and they're removing kickoffs for Pop Warner. And what they were talking about is how it's going to take time to change the culture and the mindset, but the kids is going through that now by the time they reach the NFL. So those dudes are predicting that within the next 10 years, kickoffs will be gone. And they've come up with some interesting ideas that I actually thought were pretty cool, like start a game off with a punt instead of a kickoff.
Isn't a punt a kickoff without a tee?
But,
you still got guys running downfield, still got heads banging.
They've done all these studies. And I listen to all
these people. Isn't that cut off your nose and spite your face?
No, because when it's a punt, you don't have the collisions that you do on kickoffs. And they were explaining that about the violent collisions and amount of speed that's generated from guys running 40 and 50 yards downfield. A punt, think about it. You got your gunners on the outside. You got your offensive defensive linemen. They initially hit, so you don't have that free run where guys are colliding. So as far as the
everybody except the guy returning the kick.
Now he can get blasted. But you don't have the 22 guys banging heads.
Right.
So I think it's gonna go away one day. But this is what happens. In a way, I think it's good because you want to be safe. But in a way, a lot of times I think we overreact. I think that a lot of people overreacted to the concussion thing. A lot of people acted like these dudes were out here playing football and had no idea what was happening. I'm talking about the pros, not talking about high school, not talking about Pop Warner. I'm talking about these dudes to make all this money and brag to us how, I got my bell rung and I lied and went back in the game. I'm talking about those guys. And when all that stuff came out, everybody was, the NFL is horrible. They're evil. They're taking – well, now they're reacting. Now it's the other way. Wait a minute. They're ruining the game. Well, you can't have it both ways. I've always been of the belief that, hey, these dudes made their bed. Let them lay in it. And to me, it was sort of like the steroid era in baseball where the players and the managers, everybody sort of knew what was going on. Everybody sort of looked the other way. And it is what it is, the same way in football. So I think we're going to lose our kickoffs one day. I really do. Which is going to cost some dudes some jobs, change the game forever. But it's just a sign of the times, man. It is. I think we're going to have it. I've been saying I think we're going to have a hit zone one day. I think they're going to try to figure out a way, for a hit zone because you can't go You know, you can't really go high anymore. So now players are starting to go low, but, you know, you go low, now you have all these knee injuries. So I think they're going to come up with some type of hit zone from, like, the shoulder to mid-thigh one day. I think it's going to be crazy. It's about 15 years from now, we might be sitting back watching the game going, what the heck is this?
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Well, before we get out of here, man, you
won't care.
Yeah, okay. You'll care. Before we get out of here, man, you got any closing thoughts for the week,
Joe? I said, as long as the Bears win the Super Bowl, I don't care. So long as they win, I don't care who plays basketball. Just win.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. As long as they win the Super Bowl, they got that playing touch football. As long as we're the touch football champions of the NFL.
Yep.
I'm not watching touch football, for the record. I'm not. I refuse.
Closing thoughts this week. Just looking forward to this NBA thing, man. Maybe it's because I just missed the NBA, but I'm really looking forward to the season. And I'm really looking forward to watching these games come on this starting Friday night. I was going to go to the game Friday night in Vegas, but some stuff fell through, so I won't be making it. But I'm looking forward to it, fresh blood. And like I said, next week we can start talking about the NFL because training camps will be open. Stephen A. Smith will be back on First Take, so I'm sure he'll give us something to talk about. And maybe we'll have a Russ watch all year. Maybe we'll just be waiting for Russell Westbrook to get traded all season long.
All right. Sounds good. I'll close with this. You know, we are the Sports Authority, but we also have other stuff. You need to be informed of what's going on. If you're old enough to listen to this show, you're probably of voting age. You need to check out, not necessarily the convention, but you need to make sure you check out these debates. You need to make sure you know who you're voting for. It's bigger than just the president, as they proved with President Obama. He was the president, but the Republicans had the House. You know, you need to get into this stuff. You don't have to like it. I don't like politics. Call it politics. But you need to be up on it and understand what's going on because these people are making the rules for how your life lives. When you look at your paycheck and you wonder who FICA is and you wonder how much you're giving to the state, these are the people that are deciding how much you're giving. So you need to pay attention to this stuff. And we got the Russ watch. Yeah, that should be real interesting. And baseball. We will be getting up close to teams deciding whether they are going to be in or out as it pertains to the playoffs. And we'll see some good trades from different teams. So I'm looking forward to that. So with that, Paris, I don't have anything else this evening. So I want to thank everybody that called in earlier. Thank all the listeners. You know, check us out. Check us out next week. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to be making up stuff on the fly because right now all we got is baseball and bowling. Do we even have bowling? I don't think we have bowling. Maybe we'll have a little bit more from the basketball from the select team. We'll have that. And I'm sure there'll be some more DeMarcus Cousins news, Paris. I'm sure he'll say something else in the next 7 days. If we know DeMarcus, something else is coming. So for my man P-Dawg, I am Corey G. We're going to get out of here. We will see everybody next week. Peace out.
Peace. Did mommy call?
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chillin', surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk,
see what they dealing. Came across the barbershop, stepped into the building. Real life sports talk, real entertainment. Mike Knox really keeps his ear into the pavement. Finger on the pulse of the industry, save it. You don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell them what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, build a force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. Two shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check
Yo,
this.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best.